Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
We're going to start a couple minutes before the hour, and I wanted to welcome you this morning. I will do my announcements afterwards, but we have a guest pianist as part of our service today, Mikkel Gordon, cousin Lana and Dorothy's, student at the University of Arkansas, double major in voice and piano performance. Is that it? Voice. And I think once you hear him play, you'll understand. I was wishing we could hear him sing too, but I think we'll hear him during the hymns at least. He'll be sharing in the hymns. So we want to welcome you today, and we'll begin our worship with the prelude as Mikkel Gordon will be playing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mikkel. We'll be hearing Mikkel at the end of the service as well. Also wanted to mention a welcome to David Williams, who will be our vocal soloist today. So a lot of music today, a variety of music. So good to have you here as we gather for worship. It's the first Sunday of the month, so we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper together as part of our service. And just glad to have all of you here. The inside back cover of the bulletin gives us the calendar for this week. And the finance trustees will be meeting after the service today for a meeting. Also, you'll note the props up here. This is for Housing Families Back to School Supplies Drive. This is the last day that we are taking collections, and they'll be going to Housing Families so they can prepare them and distribute them to the students in their programs. Also, there's a sign-up sheet out in the hallway, and I've been told that the last Sunday of the month, August 25th, is still vacant. If anybody would like to sign up, you're invited to do so. And as we've been doing this summer, the hymns and the responsive call to worship are printed on an insert in the bulletin. And at this time, I invite you to turn to that insert to number 112 for our responsive call to worship. And we'll be reading from Psalm 96 as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Let us read responsively from God's holy word. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods.
For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord created the heavens.
Splendor and majesty are before him.
Strength and glory are in his sanctuary.
Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord glory to his name.
Bring an offering and come into his courts.
Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness.
Our opening hymn is We Have Come Into His House, number 113. We're singing verses 1 and 2. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Pray together. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. Our souls long for the refreshment of your house, where you withhold no good thing from those who put their trust in you. Refresh our world-weary minds. Renew our sagging spirits with encouragement in Christ. Lift up our hearts that we may sing with joy in your presence and carry the music of the living God to all the earth. We ask this all in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. We now pray as he taught, as we say aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was.
Psalm 86:12 says, I give thanks to you, my Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Chapter 5, verse 8 says, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Above all nature. Shastri's stuff that we're meeting us in that. Come to a time of sharing celebrations and concerns with one another as we go to prayer, and I have several this morning I'd like to share with you, and then we'll invite you to share some as well. One we want to do is night in prayer. I learned this morning she's been hospitalized, but she's been scheduled to be home today. So I want to keep Phyllis in prayer. If you may recall that Phyllis turned 99 in June, so we want to keep Phyllis in our prayers today. Also, we want to pray for Christina Nowak, who is hospitalized with pneumonia right now, and she and John are expecting their second child, so they are monitoring the baby as well as Christina's health. They're hoping maybe in a few days she'll be able to be released. So I want to keep Christina and John in prayer at this time. We want to keep our finance trustees in prayer. They're meeting this afternoon to review proposals for insurance coverage for the church for the next 3 years. So it's an important decision they need to make. So we want to pray for them today as well. As we're praying for our sister churches on the North Shore, part of the Jefferson Association, we're praying for the Tabernacle Evangelique Lelange in Lynn. And they are one of the congregations that share space at First Baptist Center. We want to keep that congregation in prayer today. Also, we want to remember the students that we're receiving some school supplies that we've been collecting, and others are donating to housing families as they prepare for school starting in another month. And we just want to pray for those school supplies today. And also, we want to lift up our nation right now and the tragedies and shootings that are taking place. When I wrote this last night, you know, I wrote California and Texas, and when I woke up this morning, I realized I needed to add Ohio to it as well, as states that are in mass shootings in the past week. I believe I heard, and somebody confirmed this morning, this morning, I heard on one of the newscasts that there have been 250 shootings in the country this year, which is less than the number of days we had this year, or more than the days we had this year. So we want to lift up that situation and just the violence that's taking place in our world. It's over there someplace, and we go in nations where there's violence. No, there's violence right here in our home country. With that. Do you have any requests for prayer? I have one more I want to share at the end. Do you have any other requests for prayer to celebrate the concern? Ready? Okay.
I'm happy with the nerves. She's in constant pain all the time.
Okay, so Jim and Betty's daughter-in-law, Lisa, my buddy's wife, was brought down to Mass General and is in constant pain and some kind of nerve damage. So she's being evaluated in Mass General. So we can pray for her today. Anyone else have a prayer request? Richie, yes. I'm sorry. Yes, she's on my list. I didn't get to that. So yes, let's hear about
your prayer. Can you pray for Doreen? She has moved to the Winchester Rehabilitation Unit on Swanton Street in Winchester now, because I found out from the nurse that falling 3 weeks, that's your limit, it's falling. Whether you're ready to move or not, they throw you out.
Yeah.
But, she's recovering. It's slow. It's a slow process.
Very slow process.
She thinks she can walk, but she can't.
A lot of patience.
Yeah.
I want to keep Doreen. I'm sorry, she was up above and I skipped over her.
Right.
I'm just going to go back or something. Anyone else have a prayer request? All right, I do want to. Oh, Steve.
Kathy, you have just got a
good. So she's doing okay?
She's okay.
Good.
So home in 2 weeks. And
so I do want to keep Kathy for her to hospitalize and to bring her. Anyone else have a prayer request? Okay, the other thing I want to share with you is 3 years ago, the congregation learned that our major tenant in both buildings was not going to keep staying here. And 2 years ago, they finally moved out, and we were able to lease the parish house first floor to Triangle. That's going very well. But the basement of the church remained vacant for the past 2 years, which has been a real draw financially on us. This week, I signed a lease with a Brazilian church that's going to be meeting weeknights and some Saturdays. It could have been better. I mean, so we're going to have six congregations meeting in our buildings. When they won't be working.
It is.
Yeah, it does work in very mysterious ways. The last few weeks have been, we've been going back and forth, but I don't feel financially it's It's close to what we didn't want. Very close to what we wanted.
Thank you, Martha.
Robbie, thank God. It wasn't me.
Oh, you did a lot of work.
Well, here's me. God works in mysterious ways, but our pastor works in so many ways that people don't see, and I do. So I truly appreciate you and all your hard work. It's not a new church. It's a pre-existing congregation. They're in a warehouse right now and can't afford the lease there. And so they're moving from Revere to Malden. They've already visited the BG Ministry twice. We might become involved and rent a bike. I just think it's going to work out very well for us. God does work in serious ways. It's a true blessing and celebration. They won't be moving in for later in the fall because they can't break their lease in the other place. They can't afford two places. So they're doing some renovations downstairs, minor renovations. Once the property trustees approve the body.
When I was taught in this church, in that building over there, God needs people to work on that mission.
Well, really, it was Martin's song, to tell you the truth. It was Dr. Martin's song from Massachusetts Baptist Multicultural Ministries. He's the one that called me. And my initial response back to him, he called me at home, got the message, called him back, and my message to him was, the end is full. We just can't take one more. But he called me back while I was leaving the message. And so we talked, and I said, oh, you're talking basement. Okay. Then I wanted to rethink about this. So we talked, and I said, well, okay, I need to talk to my folks and see if they're interested at all or not. But he didn't know that I left a message, so he got my message later, but the answer was no. So midweek, I called him back and said, I didn't know he got my no message. So midweek, I called him back and said, all right, we're willing to consider. Well, he found another church that was willing to talk, share space. So they came here first, and they said, no, we don't want to share space. We want our own space. And again, as far as not sharing with another congregation at the same time, it's going to be theirs. We own it, but they're using it for a long day, exclusive use of it. And so then last weekend it was a no. I mean, last week it was not a good weekend. But a day later it was a yes. God spoke to the pastor. The pastor truly believes that God spoke to her and said, this is my plan for you. And he's not listening to the human beings in your church. This is my plan for you. And she said, I want to take it care of. So when you sign the lease, I have a retainer. Yes. So it's a go. It's a go. So by the end of the year, we will have a definitely. I don't know for sure. But it's definitely just going to be. They've seen it. I'm concerned that they think they can squeeze in, they're excited. They're very excited. And it's a very pleased celebration. Want to share with our nation. Well, I don't know how they work. I don't think that's what it's called. I don't know if I've seen a picture, but I don't think it's
at least it's a church.
Right, it's a church building, and so we're working on details. I mean, at least a sign, but just like if they can get a sign into the city, that kind of stuff. Those are things that we're doing. But I want to share with the congregation. Financially, it's a non-profit, it's a church. And I've been thinking about the Baptist ancestors and why they rebuilt this building. And want it full. And now it will be full. Well, now it will be pleasantly full. So let's pray together.
Thank you.
Father, it is so good to be able to come to your house, to worship you, spend these moments in prayer, believing that you receive each of our private petitions as well as our corporate prayers. And we ask now that you would hear us as we lift up our prayers to you, Lord. Lord, we pray for those that are ill today, those who are hospitalized, those who are in rehab, those who are recuperating at home. Just pray that they may regain health and strength and be able to return home very quickly if they are institutionalized at this moment. Lord, we pray also for those who are injured today and those who have lost their lives. And we pray especially, Lord, for those who have been affected by the mass shootings that took place in our nation over the last week. Lord, we say, and we watch the pictures and we can say, well, it's, you know, someplace else in our nation, but we know just as easily it could be in our own backyard. So we lift up those families that were going about their daily routines and were gunned down with what we think of senseless carnage. Lord, we just pray that we may find ways in our nation to deal with those who have mental illness, those who have anger issues, those with grudges, and just those who, for whatever reason, want to take out certain people. Lord, we just pray that we may find ways of living with love, your Christ type of love, with peace, that we may find the help for those that need it. Lord, we are a hurting nation this morning. We pray for our sister church in Lynn as they minister from that building. They reach out in the neighborhoods, in the world, sharing the love of Jesus Christ. We pray that their mission, their ministry may be patterned after your goals for them, your mission for them. Lord, like our congregation now, First Baptist Lynn has been a church that has opened its doors to numerous congregations over the years and shared space with several at one time. I always wondered how that could be, realizing now how that could be. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful building we have, and the opportunity we have of sharing this space with other congregations that cannot afford to own a building, but need a place to worship. Lord, we just thank you for your work in the past weeks, working through this church and Revere, this Brazilian congregation, and working through our congregation and boards and committees that have discussed this possibility. Lord, we just pray that we may be a little partnership of sharing this building, yet ministering to very diverse groups. Now, Lord, we have so many different congregations in our building, but Lord, we're reaching out with the same message of love through Jesus Christ to this world, where we live in a very diverse city. We're very thankful that we're able to be part of that diversity and sharing that through the love of Jesus Christ with others. Lord, we pray that you would bless us in the days ahead, bless this congregation as they prepare to move here. It may be a smooth transition, that as we move and welcome another culture here, that we will be tolerant, and maybe even learn some of the language and the customs, that we may be even broader in our understanding of your kingdom, of all people. Lord, we lift all these things to you now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
I mentioned earlier that we'll be sharing the Lord's Supper together, and on those Sundays when we do that, we receive two different offerings. The first offering that we are about to receive is our regular morning offering that goes to support the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. So this time, the ushers receive your tithes and your gifts.
Oh, voice of one that cries in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
And gifts to you, we pray that you would make us wise stewards of these and all of your blessings, that we may share your comfort and your peace with others and share the love of Jesus Christ, that they may come to know him as their personal Lord and Savior. We ask this in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Two scripture texts for this morning, both Old and New Testaments. The first comes from Genesis chapter 22, beginning at verse 14. No, beginning at verse 1. Story that many of us may have heard or learned in Sunday school. And if you were in this church, you probably were next door in the parish house. So we're thinking about our history here. But a story that might be even a little disturbing for children as well. So let's hear these words from the Word of God, Genesis chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." And Abraham said, "Here I am." God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, "Father." And Abraham said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And from the Gospel according to Luke, when the hour came, Jesus took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as if it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. A dispute arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one at the table, or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." May God add his blessing to this reading and hearing of this application of God's holy word. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, if we sang this morning about telling us the old, old story, and we've just read two old stories, one of your child Abraham and his son Isaac and the testing of him and the faithfulness that Abraham demonstrated, and also then of Jesus and his followers and their arguments among themselves as to human terms as to who is greatest. Lord, I bet those are examples when, looking back, both of those folks would wish that they could not remember those things, but it was part of what they did. For Lord, we do things that we realize are not right after the fact, things we wish we could forget. Lord, we ask this morning that we would open our hearts and our minds to receive a message from you. It would help us in our daily living. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Are there things that you've done or words that you've said that you'd like to forget? Probably all of us, if we honestly examine our lives, would find things that we would like to forget. in our history, such as those intimately personal events in the recesses of our minds that are either so painful or so foolish, so horrifying or so humiliating that we'd like to erase them from our memories. Perhaps it's some cruelty we've inflicted, or some deceit we've lived, some lust we've acted upon, or some tragedy that we've endured. Temporarily, we bury them in the secret closet of our souls. We bury them, or at least try to. But as the debris of the memory accumulates and accumulates, we keep pushing it farther, farther down into the closets of our souls. In a way, it is grace that we do not forget these things, that they keep recurring to us. But just as the tide irresistibly laps against the shore, so these things we'd like to forget raise their ugly heads. If we could just forget them, just wipe them out, and pretend that they never happened. But we can't, because our memories remain active. Even our ancestors in the faith, the biblical heroes, had their regrettable and unforgettable moments. Take Abraham and his Mount Moriah experience with his son Isaac. Certainly that caused Abraham some consternation, not only as it was happening, but also later as he thought what could have happened that day. We know that story quite well, and I read part of it this morning. For Abraham and Sarah had waited many, many years. For Isaac was not only their only son, it was a long-awaited son. They had waited for a child for many, 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 many years. And finally, long after Sarah was of childbearing age, God blessed them with a son whom they named Isaac. Years later, the Lord spoke to the old man and told him to take his only son into the mountains and to sacrifice him like other pagans would do. I suspect that when Abraham heard that voice of God, it happened no differently than when we hear God's voice today. Perhaps it was in a pensive, soul-searching moment, or perhaps Abraham saw someone else doing something inspiring and God spoke through that event. Or maybe Abraham was hearing someone else express religious thoughts or feelings, and through that God spoke to Abraham. Whatever it was, Abraham heard the voice of God and set his mind on cajoling or forcing his son to be a living or a dead sacrifice to God. Imagine what it must have been like for Abraham to climb that mountain with Isaac. I want you to picture it now with me for just a moment. Feel what they are feeling. The awkward burden of wood for the sacrifice on Isaac's back. The nervous sweat on the back of Abraham's hands. Isaac's poignant question, where is the lamb? And the lump in the old man's throat when the boy asked it. And also the conviction that no matter how certain or uncertain, Abraham replied, the Lord will provide. And then when it was all over, the Lord did provide a sacrifice. What kinds of thoughts must have rushed through Abraham's mind? Why did I do a thing like that? Why did I put my only son through that agony? I must have scared him to death. And then realizing I could have killed him. The heroes of faith of the Bible are so human. It's not unreasonable to imagine that Abraham felt this way and that he would have liked to forget that near tragedy on Mount Moriah. But forget he could not. What might have become a horrible tragedy became a landmark experience of that patriarch for his son and their generations that followed. Can you imagine Isaac telling the story to his sons? It became a part of their family history, part of almost their genealogy. I almost didn't survive here. You almost weren't here because of what my father heard from the Lord, and he acted on that. What might have been a totally horrifying experience became a turning point, a profound moment of revelation, a faith event for Abraham and the people of God, and he demonstrated his trust in the Lord. So much to the point of sacrificing his own son, whom he had longed for and had been promised by God, but he was willing to trust the Lord that much. The Old Testament had Abraham, and the New Testament had the disciples of Jesus. They too had their regrettable and unforgettable moments. One of them was on the last night that they were with Jesus before he died. Jesus was aware of what was happening while it was taking place. The disciples didn't realize what was going on. It was the Passover, a time for friendship, compassion, and companionship. But in the midst of this, there was an ugly scene with shouting and pushing and shoving and the sounds of probably even slapped flesh. "Who is the greatest among us?" they contended. The disciples were at their worst in those moments. Look and listen as Peter supposedly, as we read from a different gospel, Peter supposedly the most revered of the bunch, made his own insolent claim to fame but thoroughly embarrassed himself before those he loved. A few moments later, Jesus put Peter in his place by predicting how Peter would betray him. Not once, not twice, but three times before the cock crowed the next morning. And then when it was all over, and the next day had passed as well, after the Lord did provide a sacrifice, what kinds of thoughts must have rushed through those disciples' minds? Why did we do the things like that night? Argue and fuss on that last night that he was with us. If we had only known, if we had only realized how precious the night was, we would not have acted so stupidly or unthinkingly or even unfaithfully. It was a scene that they would like to have forgotten, but forget they could not. In fact, as they recall the events of that night, the words of Jesus spoken as he broke the bread and poured the cup kept ringing in their ears. "When you do this, remember me." When you remember this night, remember me. And what could have become a horrifying experience became a landmark event for the disciples and the people of God. So we've talked about a character from the Old Testament. We've talked about the characters in the New Testament. So what about us today? What things would we like to forget? If we think religiously, are there words that we have spoken or actions that we've taken that have gone against God's will? Is it sometimes easier to forget than to remember and deal with the guilty feelings that we have about our past? Yet our minds do amazing things, don't they? We forget things we want to remember, especially as we age, and we remember things we'd rather not. Having heard these two old stories again, I think we can agree that it's good that we don't totally forget the things we'd like to forget. While it would be a tragedy if we lost in antiquity the mistakes of the heroes of faith, a greater tragedy would be if we lost our own mistakes. For we could never reflect on them. We could never turn from the pain we have caused unless we remembered how much we had inflicted. And more importantly, we could never discern the holy presence of God in the midst of the times it felt like God was absent. The things we'd like to forget, we remember. Thank God. Then we can resolve to do the things differently. Or as the Bible says, we can repent, to turn ourselves around and go on a different pathway. And those regrettably unforgettable moments can become turning points or landmarks, moments of faith for us, just like they did for the disciples and for Abraham. So now as we come to the table where the bread is broken again and the cup is poured, as it was so long ago, we first face ourselves as we really are, and we remember our own lives as they have really been, even the things we'd like to forget. but we also hear the words of Jesus ringing in our ears. When you do this, remember me. And so we remember him and all that he has done for us, especially forgiving all those things we'd like to forget. And Jesus remembers us, receives us, and invites us to eat with him now and forever. Let's pray together. I'm going to use verses that I paraphrase from the book of Psalms. Let's pray together. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Test us and know our anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in us and lead us in the way everlasting. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your unfailing love. Wash away all of our iniquities and cleanse us from our sins. Create in us pure hearts, O God, and renew steadfast spirits within us. May our thoughts, our words, and actions be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Our hymn of preparation is According to Thy Gracious Word, which is printed on the back page of the bulletin. And we're singing verses.
Thank you. together we read from the church covenant.
Having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we might watch over one another with Christian love, remembering each other in prayer and aiding each other in sickness and distress, that we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God and the observance of the ordinances of the Church, that we will maintain daily family and personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and His kingdom, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm love, justice, and the unity of all people, and to work as faithful disciples of Christ, and that we share and contribute to our poverty, according as God has prospered us, for the maintenance of a faithful and evangelical ministry among us, and the relief of distress, and the spreading gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live to the glory of God, who has given us life, and who has called us to serve him and us sisters and brothers in the name of his Son.
Jesus is the host at the table. And as the host, he invites each one of us with these words. He asks, do you love me? Do you believe that I came to earth, walked among you, healed, preached, taught, and ultimately went to the cross, dying and paying the price for your sins, was buried, raised, and walked among again as a resurrected Christ, ascended to heaven, and am now preparing a place for you for all eternity? If we can say, yes, Lord, I believe, Jesus says, come, eat and drink with me. You do not have to be a member of this local congregation in order to receive the elements, but Jesus invites all believers to partake of the elements today. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, as we have gathered and worshiped you, and we come now to your table, we thank you for the invitation that we are welcomed here. We know that we have not earned a seat here. There's nothing that says that we have a guaranteed seat here. It's only through your grace and mercy that you welcome us here. Lord, we know that we have done things, as we talked about wishing we could forget, things that we could wish we could forget. For in these moments, we confess to you those things that we are aware of that we have done or perhaps not done but should have done, and ask for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of memory, that we can hold on to those things that we have made our mistakes. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us of our sins, and cleanse us and purify us now. Prepare us now to eat and drink with you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. As we read from the Gospel of Luke, on that night, which ended up being the last night that Jesus was going to share with his disciples, they were celebrating the Passover meal. Meal when they were remembering and commemorating the deliverance of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And part of that meal was the bread. And Jesus took the bread. Of course, the disciples gathered there, had been to many Passover meals, and sort of knew the routine, sort of the ritual. And all of a sudden, he's saying something different. This bread represents my body that's broken for each of you. Jesus said, whenever you eat this bread, remember me. Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread.
Thank you.
broken bread symbolizing Christ's broken body, broken that we may be whole. Let us eat in memory of him. As that meal continued, Jesus took the cup. Again, giving thanks to God for the cup, again passing it among his disciples, telling them this cup represents a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. As often as you drink from it, remember me. Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. Symbolizing Christ's blood shed on the cross so that we might have life, life abundant, life eternal. Let us drink in memory and thanksgiving. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you willingly went to the cross, allowing your body to be broken, your blood to be shed, that we might have life, we might have joy, that we might have be with you forever. We thank you for that, Lord, and we pray that we may live lives faithful and representative of that love. Amen. Scripture tells the disciples of Jesus sang a hymn and then went out. We'll be singing verses 1 and 4 of Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. The deacons have baskets that will be passing up. Outside. Okay? Outside. If you want to pass your used cups, please, on the outside ends, we'll collect those as we sing Blessed Be the Tie That Binds and Stands. So we only have to do 5 things at once. Let's sing it. Remember, and in remembering to find strength for service. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.